Welcome, everybody. Happy New Year.
I'll
not waste too much time. I'll walk and talk. Welcome to Discovering Buddhism. Is anybody here for the first time? Chris in the back is not here for the first time. He's joking. All right, awesome. So you guys have been coming. So my job as it relates to this class is just to set up a schedule online and kind of try to keep things scheduled. Linda is your lovely assistant, which you probably know, program assistant for this class, and Hemant is teaching this first class of the new year. Very exciting. So if you guys have been around, you know that we've been doing our annual appeal, and so you've had plenty of information about how to donate and all those great things. If you have any questions, as you know, we do everything on a donation basis, and so if you are appreciating what you experience and you want that to be available for the next person, we have all kinds of ways to make that happen. Just see Linda or me or Jill out in the lobby. Thank you so much for coming, and that's all I have to say. If you need anything in general, I'm one of the people that is always around, hopefully, and can help you. All right.
All right, a few more announcements. So as Aaron mentioned, I'm Linda, so let me know if you have any questions or need help with anything. I can also be reached online via email. There is a handout just outside the Gompa door there called About Discovering Buddhism, Establishing a Daily Practice. So be sure to pick that up. It's a front and a back, and my email address is down at the bottom or maybe the top. Top of the second page, yes. So you can contact me that way or just catch me before or after class. Please silence cell phones, but you can tuck those away, have them handy if you need them. Okay, so we're starting off a new year. Woohoo! So this is establishing a daily practice. But in the meantime, also, please mark on your calendar. We have visiting teacher coming up the last weekend of January / first weekend of February. It's Venerable Amy. Some of you may have experienced her already. She's wonderful. She will be doing a weekend workshop called A Path to Joy. So check that out online. You can also register online for that. Anyone is welcome to come to that. And it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You can attend all or some. We encourage you to attend all if possible. And then in addition to that, coming up before that, on Saturday the 18th is an all-day Tara retreat led by Geshe Gelug. So check that out online as well, and please join us for that. Lots of opportunities to get in here and do all kinds of great things. And I think that's all I have. So I'm going to turn it over to Hemant now. Thank you all for coming.
Thank you. Is this working? Can you hear me? Okay, great. So I think they have a video. I did not know that they're going to have a video, so I'm going to play the video. After the video, we'll actually start the session. We'll do prostrations, okay? But I want you to at least have some warm-up here. Here we go. I have no idea what I'm doing here. Yeah. How do you type this part?
Enlightenment isn't built in a day, but is built as a result of a day-to-day effort. In other words, the only thing that will get us anywhere on the spiritual path, whether it's concentration, loving kindness, or wisdom that we want to develop is dedicating ourselves to a daily practice. We take for granted that Olympic athletes and professional musicians train daily to achieve mastery of their sport or music. Why wouldn't the same discipline apply to cultivating the most important qualities of our mind? If we want to develop patience, honesty, morality, and wisdom, we have to make a sustained effort. In this show, we'll learn methods to develop our daily practice on and off the cushion through every part of our lives.
So what does a daily practice mean? What does it mean to practice? If, as the Buddha said, it's true that we have been cycling in samsara, cyclic existence, for infinite number of lifetimes, what we have been practicing, as evidenced by the fact that we're still here in samsara, has been non-virtue and self-cherishing. What we need to do to remedy this situation is to develop a new habit by practicing virtue and cherishing others. So before listening to these teachings, establish in your mind a very strong motivation to be able not only to understand what it means to have a daily practice, but to establish one in your life, a workable daily practice, as quickly as possible, so that you may be able to benefit all living beings as quickly as possible.
So now the next is the force of the white seed. The force of the white seed is the aim of achieving the supreme enlightenment in order to benefit all mother sentient beings and oneself, for oneself and other purposes, engaging as much as possible throughout the day in practice to purify the previously accumulated negative potentials or karma, and accumulating virtuous actions or merits, what we call merits. So these are called the white seed. So what is the best way then to quickly accumulate merits without making so much effort? Rejoice. And rejoicing is an incredible beneficial practice. It allows you to accumulate such a huge mass of merits just with the force of your thought, without engaging in any physical or strenuous difficult practices or activities, just rejoicing of the virtues accumulated by others, by oneself and others, it becomes extremely powerful to swiftly complete the accumulation of merits without so much struggle. You rejoice of your virtues, you rejoice of other people's virtues, you rejoice of the virtues of the bodhisattvas, of the buddhas, of the gurus. The more you think in detail and vast you are, the vaster and bigger is the, by way of rejoicing you, the merits keep accumulating and accumulating. This is a very good practice. If you undertake whatever, even the smallest positive action you do, it acts as purifier for those previously accumulated negative karma. More specific, there are lots of very powerful practices and techniques, such as doing prostrations, taking refuge, reciting what is called the Tungsha, the general confession practice, the practice related to the 35 Buddhas, Vajrasattva meditation and recitation, even just the mantra, and so on and so forth. And the third is the force of familiarity. It means that you constantly have to take to your mind the practices of the path to enlightenment, especially the steps to generate bodhicitta, and as well as purifying accumulating merits, until it becomes spontaneous for you. You don't need any, it's not a contrived thought. You have to bring it to your mind constantly, so it becomes so familiar with that particular kind of attitude and behavior that you constantly are reminded of the path to enlightenment. So this is the power, the force of familiarity. So the fourth is the force or the power of rejection. And this in general, it refers to all types of delusions. So always keep a constant awareness of delusions and their disadvantages for you in order to eliminate it. But particularly be mindful of self-cherishing thought, of egoism, and do not let yourself being taken under the power of self-cherishing thought from now on, as much as you can. So this is the power of rejection. So now the force of prayer or dedication. So at the time, just before going to sleep, then you apply the last force. Alright, you review your day on the basis of your first determination in the morning. So what happened today? How did I accumulate any novitious action? Was I being taken under the power of delusions? Did I accumulate virtuous actions? Was I able to apply the antidotes and to overcome self-cherishing thought, and so on and so forth? So you have to analyze very sincerely, focus on whatever negativities I have accumulated today. I've done it for this and this and this, so therefore I'm going to purify it right now, and tomorrow I will be more mindful. You make a strong determination again tomorrow, I'm not going to repeat the same mistake. And whatever virtues you have accumulated, you review it and you rejoice. So that was very good. I've done it very nicely. I was able to face my mind. I was able to decrease delusions. I was able to do this and this and virtuous action. This is fantastic. Tomorrow I'll do even better. So before going to bed, you do this review. This was a very short explanation on how to carry out the practices, how to summarize the practice in one's life on the basis of a daily practice from morning up to night. So this is for what we call daily practice.
Presentation. So I held off on doing the prostrations for a reason. Since this is established in the daily practice, this is part of the practice, right? Typically, every class you come in, we will start with the prostrations. But I think it was important for me today to at least talk about why we prostrate. Especially in the West, people have sometimes problem with that. I don't bow to anybody. That's the mindset we come with, right? So we need to understand why we prostrate. You're not forced or nobody's pressuring to prostrate, but there is a reason for it, why we prostrate. So I think we'll go through it and then we'll do three prostrations for those who can do it. If you have a health issue or if you don't feel like doing it, you can do it mentally, okay? But the idea behind a prostration is to remove negative karma of one's own negative karma, humility, right? Number two, you're respecting the teacher, okay? And then also respecting the three jewels in Buddhism, the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. So that's why you prostrate. Now, there is a very specific way they prostrate. You can do a full prostrations, half prostrations, but typically the hands are folded with your thumbs inside like this. It goes on the top of the head, to the forehead, to the throat, and to the heart. And then you end up here again, right? And then you do it again. One, two, and three. And then we say these things, okay? Om Namo Manjushri, Om Namo Sushriye, Om Namo Patishasuye Soha. The whole meaning behind that is that you're telling yourself, you're basically saying homage to the glorious, peaceful one. Homage to the good, glorious one, and one that is unsurpassed. These are mental things you are developing as you bow down. Okay? So, also there are some symbolism. The left hand symbolizes wisdom. The right hand symbolizes method. And we've heard about it, and we'll talk about it as we go along. Method and wisdom are the two wings of the Buddhism. We need both to fly. So it kind of represents that. Your thumbs in the middle represent a jewel, offering jewel, wish-fulfilling jewel. And then the space around your hand is the understanding of reality, the nature, the emptiness. So that's the idea. This is a deeper subject, but there is a reason behind why we do it and how. And then what you do is when you bow down, you're visualizing light coming from the deity, Buddha, for example. And you can visualize a couple of ways. For those simple-minded, you can just visualize gold light coming to you, gold, beautiful rays of light entering your body, okay? Or you can, as soon as you touch here, there's a white color, the red color, and the blue color. You can just visualize it. Now, it's done fairly quickly. As you can see, sometimes you'll see people will go like this. But you can generate a quick idea in your mind about the holy books, the teachings, and the deity, and then when you visualize it, you can visualize that beautiful rays coming to you, and then do your three prostrations. It's a wonderful practice. And for many of us that need to lose a little weight, it's even better. Right? So, with that in mind, it's not a pressure. If those who want to do it will stand up and do three prostrations, okay? So the words are, Om Namo Manjushriye, Namo Sushriye, Namo Uttama Shriye Soha. Om Namo Manjushriye, Namo Sushriye, Namo Uttama Shriye Soha. Om Namo Manjushriye, Namo Sushriye, Namo Uttama Shriye Soha. Om Namo Manjushriye, Namo Sushriye, Namo Uttama Shriye Soha. One more thing I learned when I was in Sarajevo, one of the monks corrected me. When I was bowing down, my fingers were open like this. And he says, don't have chicken fingers, close them. You know, this is very good. And they even practice to the point where you go down a little slow, but you come up fast. And the mental picture you're creating is, I want to be lifted up faster. It's a really great practice. So they go very nicely, and then when they get up quickly. And fingers are closed this way. Okay, a little bit about prostrations. So wonderful video by Thupten Children, Venerable Thupten Children. She has a site, And if you search for it, she has a good 10-15 minute video on just prostration and why we do it. I suggest you take a look at it. Okay, some logistics. Okay, today's class basically, this took away 15-20 minutes, but what we're going to do is every class we're going to progress a little more. And I'll tell you this, that this is called establishing the daily practice. It's module number 8. And I know a lot of people sometimes want the first day, just give me a menu so that I can go home and do it. But there's a lot of background towards why you do what you do. And I think the class is going to establish that first. So in the first two classes, you may hear a lot of things, and you're still in your back of your mind, you're going to start to think, yeah, but that's still getting me scattered. I want something that I can go home and do it, and we're going to get there. And I even have some things that I may hand out, so at least to get you going. Okay? So we're going to do that. So I want you to know that by the end of the session 6, I believe, you will have an idea in your mind of what to do on a daily basis. I'm sure there are many people here who are advanced practitioners. Some people are coming here maybe the first or second time, and some people are just curious. Okay? And so what I ask you from you, that's two requests I have. We are setting the stage for the class right now, is whenever you go through something, a topic, or when we finish a session, I want you to ask yourself why. Why am I doing this? Who said it? Why is it necessary? You know, like a little child, you know, if you think about it, eat your broccoli, why? Put your seat belts on, why? So we're going to go through that why. I think it's very important that we sometimes get this feeling of so much information coming and that you don't really question or ask and really take it in and question it. And so I want you to purposefully, you may be doing it, I'm not trying to suggest anything, but during the class, even the words will come up. You start reading a book and somebody says, oh, there are 5 kleshas and 5 purposes. And then, 5 purposes, what are 5 purposes? What is a klesha? Why are they using those words? I want you to question it, and then there's a way we find those things. It is not about coming to 5 classes, got it, and there you go. It's not like that. There is a practice behind practice, right? You've got to slowly understand it. Think of anything else in life. If you get a manual and just read the manual, that's not going to fix your TV. Maybe you'll get a few buttons up. Same thing with a car, with a camera, whatever you have. We read, when we do it, after a while it gets familiar, right? Same way. We're gonna approach it that way. Okay, so I want you to at least ask that question, why? And then I want you to also, when you come across something, we can discuss it after class, or that becomes a homework. You went through something. I want you to contemplate on it. I'm not going to ask you to do a lot of, there is some reading requirements, and we're going to go through, you'll have to go through that for you to get a fuller benefit of this particular class. But at the same time, I think that what happens to a lot of people, we listen to even Geshe-la, right? And then we go out, and then the normal duty starts, then the phone call comes, and then all of a sudden this starts to go away. Okay? And how do you bring it back is very important. So this is just setting the stage. So now some logistics of what reading requirements are, and before we really start the class, I would truly, truly from my heart, I want to thank all the lineage teachers. If you read Lamrim in Buddhism, the very first thing is about, you know, your teachers, you know, respecting your teachers, learning from your teachers. And we would not be sitting here today and discussing this or talking about this if our teachers would not have been so kind to us. So all the way from Shakyamuni Buddha, many, many pandits, then Lama Atisha, Lama Tsongkhapa, okay, and even between there, Nagarjuna, and then if you go down all the way to the teachers that we have now, Dalai Lama, okay, Lama Zopa Rinpoche, all right, Kenshu Rinpoche, and then our dear Geshe-la, Geshe Sangpo, Venerables. It's a lineage. They learned this same thing and scrutinized it so deeply. And after so many years and practice, they come and tell you in a very simple way, in half an hour, in 1 hour, that this is the way it is. and we would, and it is our job to then understand that and do something about it. So I want to thank them. I also want to thank Kadampa Center, all the people with media, Linda, Erin. It makes it all happen, right? So it comes together, so I thank everybody for that. So let's do, what are the requirements? They require texts, and I will suggest to you a couple of things that I want you to do. This is at your pace. I don't expect you to read everything, but they give you very specific sections. So first is the wish fulfilling golden sun. Page 10 to 38, 136 to 140. Okay. Your primary reading is Discovering Buddhism Required Reading, Establishing the Daily Practice. It's wonderful, actually, in my, and for after today's class, for next class, I would like you to, it, first is the advice Lama Zopa Rinpoche gives. It's pretty extensive, and then setting up the altar. Those two things. Okay, then we'll go to other readings. But instead of reading a lot of books and cramming it in, I would like you to focus on these readings, contemplate on it, question it. If there is something in there you don't understand, underline it, and let's find it. And let's fully, fully capture the meaning of what Lama Zopa Rinpoche is saying to us. Okay? And then there are some other things. Obviously, you want to read the Liberation in the Palm of Your Hand. It is pretty extensive reading. Okay? That may, actually, I would say that that is your adjunct. It is fantastic if you really want a deep dive. But if you first want to get what the picture is and then go deep dive, I would go that way. I always have it with me. Like, you know, when you're reading something, you have a some sort of a dictionary or a encyclopedia. That's how it is. I really rely on it. But Lama Zopa Rinpoche also does a wonderful job. So at least you must do that, okay? All right. So.
Hemant, can I just say, the information that Hemant was just referring to, the readings and everything, are on the handout that I was referencing at the beginning. But also that same handout is online. So if you go to kadampa-center.org and then go to Spiritual Practice, Discovering Buddhism Materials, it is also there online. So all those links can just be clicked right there online, and you can go directly to those readings, those online readings. So sorry to interrupt.
No, that's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
For the verification, are the actual PDFs or just the links?
Yeah. So from the handout, it says online readings, and all of those, there are links, and that those click to a PDF. Yeah. And below that, where it says books, Making Life Meaningful, that also, there's a link there as well. That book is out of print, but it can be found online as well at that lamayeshi.com.
I downloaded it. It's fine. It works really good.
Perfect. Yeah. And the other two, Liberation in the Palm of Your Hand and the Daily Meditation on Shakyamuni Buddha, can be purchased from either the bookstore here at Kadampa Center, or
that's what it looks like.
There's Liberation, or online. I think the Shakyamuni Buddha can be found at the FPMT store, and it can be downloaded as an e-book, so you can read it online. Yeah, there we go. And there's a few of those in our bookstore here at Kadampa Center.
Yeah, I brought some books just in case you want to sometimes visually see it. Not necessary to buy it. You can certainly go to the library, look it up, and I'm not asking you to purchase any or like that, but just these are some very powerful books if you want to establish a real good practice. There's a lot of confusion on, I practice, I sit on the cushion, I do this, but what am I supposed to really do? Right? They will put everything in perspective for you. Okay, so just an FYI. So now we're going to start the session in a proper way. So we're going to do a quick calm abiding meditation and followed by a motivation. Again, since this is establishing the daily practice, I feel compelled to explain why we need motivation. You know, simple things like, if I want to go from here outside, I have to have motivation to get up from this chair, make a right turn, and logically walk there, open the door to step outside. When you motivate, when you visualize, when you image yourself to do something, want to do something, then you make it happen. Chances are you will do something about it. So it is setting the intention, and it's a committing yourself to saying, I will attend this class, I will sit here, keep my ears nice and open and listen and learn something. And that's why motivations are very important. For before every class, you will see Keshela will set some sort of intention, like a real session. Okay, so let's do a little quick calm abiding meditation. It's a 7-point meditation, and so I will continue to follow this. Okay, so keeping your back straight, okay, not so tight, just straight. You can sit in a Vajra position if you're sitting on the cushion. So those are legs folded, or even half Vajra, okay, one leg over the other. If you're seated in a chair, that's perfectly fine. Keep your feet flat on the floor. Your arms are held loosely on your lap, not tight, and they're resting 2 or 3 inches below the navel. Your right hand is on top of your left, and your thumbs are touching each other like a teardrop. Your head is slightly tilted forward, and you're gazing on the floor in front of you. Your jaw and mouth are relaxed. Teeth slightly apart and lips lightly touching. Your tongue rests lightly on the upper palate. Your tip touches the back of the upper teeth. And your eyes, you can close them in the beginning or learn to leave them slightly open. So relax and scan the body. Release any tension you may be holding. And then feel the cool tingling on your nostrils as you breathe. Or focus on your abdomen going in and out as you inhale or exhale. Now, bring your attention to your breath and continue to keep your mind on the breath. If your mind starts to wander, observe it, gently bring it back to your breath. Now, with a calmer state of mind, let's set our motivation. Let's start with reflecting on why we are here. What is it that we hope to gain by studying this course that is entitled Establishing a Daily Practice? Inviting here all the various players in our life, our father, our mother, members of our family, all those that whom you work with, friends, even those who agitate us, those whose life we read about in magazines, news, or hear about on TV, beings in different realms of existence. Be aware that all of us have exactly the same wish. We just want to be happy. And we don't want suffering. And recognizing the very precious opportunity that we have in our life, having met teachings that provide us the very method we need to free our minds from suffering and its causes, and achieve every quality of being for the highest happiness and benefit. And taking upon ourselves the responsibility of this opportunity to work not only for happiness of ourselves alone, but for happiness of every single living being, wanting to repay whatever kindness they have given us in our life gone by. Then invoke into this place the presence of our teachers, all our guides, protectors, various kind beings who help us in our path. Seeing them manifesting here in this place in the aspect of Shakyamuni Buddha. Asking them to bless our mind to receive exactly the teachings that we need at this point in our spiritual development. Thank you. You can bring your attention back. Okay, so I'm going to have some slides, and this is how we're going to cover some topics. So make sure we stay on a little path here, okay? You guys familiar with Burzin Archives? Just occurred to me, Burzin Archives, Lama Yeshe Archives, Venerable Thupten Children. These are some great, great sites to go if any have questions. If you want a deep dive, or if you have a word you want to find, or if you are just looking to do some reading and getting an understanding, these are some places I typically go to. So that's an FYI. All right. So this is the eighth module, establishing the daily practice, a wonderful way to start the new year, because you're establishing the practice. And what comes before this is the Discovering Buddhism module, Mind and Its Potential, How to Meditate, okay, Death and Rebirth, Presenting the Path, Karma, and you're supposed to have the refuge, but we kind of switched it because of some time constraints that we had, and then, of course, relating to the spiritual teacher. So it's setting the stage for you to now do something with your practice. All these topics, very important topics, and you covered so many things in there. So for example, in Mind and Its Potential, you learned the vastness of your mind. Right? It is clear. It is knowing. It is your own. Right? So you learned a little bit about the mind. Then you learned meditation, basic meditation. So you learned about calm abiding meditation, you learned about analytical meditation, how to set up a strong motivation and dedication. Then you went through presenting the path, where you actually learn a lot. You actually go through the entire path in this five-session module. So you look at the training required for the lower scope, the middle scope, and the high scope, and we went very extensively into the details of each of these areas. Right. So, for those who are you all familiar with Lamrim? Everybody's familiar with Lamrim? Say no if you're not.
No.
Okay. Okay. Lamrim, how do I say? It's the path. if you look at, there's a book, Lamrim Chenmo outside, or when you look at this book, Liberation in Palm of Your Hand, this is a concise discourse of the path of enlightenment. And you will find yourself learning very nicely, step by step, all the things required and knowledge required and practices required for you to achieve the full knowledge, full path. It's completely from learning about your teachers all the way to Tantra. Okay, but anyways, it is just so you know what Lamrim is. It's stages or path to liberation. So you will see me also many times, we'll talk about it when we go into next class or two about Lamrim. There are topics you have to contemplate on. So I want to make sure you understand what Lamrim was. Okay. So these modules that you went through now, they all come together. Okay? They all come together. And basically, so we're going to go say, let's see if I don't have that slide here. And we want to integrate these things into our mind. Integrate your practice, right? What has happened so far is you've been to so many sessions, you go to many classes, you read a lot of books, but it's time to take those things and now integrate it into your system. That's why this class is about establishing the daily practice, okay? And the idea behind all that is that in Buddhism, everything is experiential. It needs to be your experience. And a lot of people, what happens is they develop insensitivity to Dharma. Okay? What happens is you'll come and say, oh, I've heard this before. Oh, I know that stuff before. I'm bored. This is what happens when you have insensitivity. Too much stuff coming at you, but you haven't done something about it. Okay? So it's very important, and you should ask yourself why. Maybe you'll find out after coming to so many teachings and sessions, your sense of self is still very strong. Okay, you get agitated quickly, start judging others very quickly, right? So you start to see that you start to put blame on others, that you really haven't really integrated Dharma into your own experience. Okay? On the other hand, when Dharma is soaking in, okay, it's almost like hearing that beautiful song that you really love. You can hear it many, many times, and it still evokes this beautiful feeling in you, right? Some people have favorite music, right? You play that song, and you may have heard that in 70s even, or 80s, and it still is good for you today, right? That is similar. Dharma is, it should evoke that feeling, that tingling sensation, that happy feeling. You know, when you meet your teacher after a long time, right? Or you think about it, you feel, oh, you go to a holy place, or you go to a pilgrimage, you get that sense in you, that really good feeling in you. That's what Dharma is soaking in, because now it's penetrating in your mind, and you kind of feel that reverence for it, right? So, anyways, it is important to integrate Dharma into your practice, right? I mean, and also what happens is, we need to understand this point, it's called mind gap, Dharma and mind gap. And what happens is you learn a lot of Dharma, but your mind is still not really experiencing the bliss or the happiness or the experience that you're looking for. And that's what we call mind and Dharma gap. For example, example comes to my mind is, think about your parents. And this does not apply to everybody. And this is just an example. You know, when you think about your parents, sometimes you may not feel, you know, attracted to them, or you want to move away from them, or you may not appreciate them as much, or in some cases we appreciate but we don't do anything about them, or we may have some good and bad feelings depending on your childhood. However, when Dharma has soaked into you and you have an understanding of how reality is, you want to help them. You also recognize they not only gave you birth, but it was a precious human rebirth. Why? Because you're practicing Dharma today. So your whole perspective changes. Follow me? Right? Because you can personalize this and it becomes he, she, it many times. But as soon as you have a higher understanding what Dharma is telling you, how you should be, what you should practice, and when it's soaking in, what happens to us? You see things differently. You know, even I was with somebody, we went to a movie, And it's amazing. I could have seen this movie a few years ago, and I would have seen the fight. But when you have Dharma practice, then you see, you somehow associate some of your thoughts with it in a very different way. You see things differently. So that's when you're soaking Dharma in. So you should check your attitude sometimes. You do a check on you, that you're just coming here to intellectualize, just to know, just collecting information, or do you want to do something about it? Okay? Then the aim is that there is no more gap. That's the aim. So then let's talk about, we hear the word Dharma. So can somebody tell me what is Dharma? What is Dharma?
Did you want us to take a stab at it?
Yes, yes.
Oh, the teachings of the Buddha?
Okay, that's part of the, partly right. So let's make it very simple. Dharma is which holds back from suffering. Dharma is that which holds us back from suffering. Okay? The quintessential perfect example of Dharma is wisdom realizing emptiness, the nature of reality. Okay? Our mind can perceive it directly. And it eliminates all mental afflictions. So, again, this is not the topic here, but there's conventional reality and then ultimate reality, and there's a whole topic on it. But there's some readings on it. You can certainly read what is ultimate reality, what is wisdom realizing emptiness. And once you recognize that, once you understand that a little bit, what happens is you see world differently. You don't react the way conventionally you've been reacting. It takes a little while for that ego to subside a little bit, but you suddenly know that, it's coming up. Let it go. Let it go. It's okay. You will see the difference it makes. So, absolutely, Dharma practice. The whole thing is leading into why one should really practice, why you should integrate practice. Because a lot of times people say, well, I know this stuff. Do I really need to go prostrate? Do I really need to go sit down in a cushion for 10 minutes and go like this? There's an argument for all of those things, but we want to make sure that we're aligned thinking why we need to practice Dharma. I think Richard Gere said very nicely, you look at these athletes, look at the singers, look at people who are really good at something and achieve results, they practice all the time, daily. Right? So that's why it's important. Okay? So then, further, when you realize, when you're practicing Dharma also, you come to other realizations. So not only emptiness, but you also realize what is bodhicitta. You heard that word bodhicitta many, many times, right? What is bodhicitta? So you guys who've taken DV before, what is bodhicitta? Come on, somebody knows. What is it? I mean, we talk about it all the time.
I'm pretty sure when you generate bodhicitta, you generate the wish to become enlightened for the sake of going and enlightening all other sentient beings.
Very nicely put. Very nicely put. Your entire, when we talk about compassion, when we talk about kindness, right? It's of course a long topic, but if you think about it, you know, in presenting the path, you may have heard, to become a Buddha, he is omniscient and omnipotent, knows all and can help you anytime, anywhere. So for us to become Buddha, then we need to generate bodhicitta, what Karen just said. I have a definition here. It's a principal consciousness that combines the two factors of wishing to free all beings from suffering and wishing to attain enlightenment in order to achieve that spontaneous, altruistic mind of enlightenment. It can be engaging or it can be aspirational. So you can aspire to be kind and compassionate and you move towards it, and you can engage yourself with those kind actions. Okay? Then you also realize in Dharma the six perfections. So I'm asking these questions now, right? What are the six perfections? Who can tell me a couple of them at least?
Generosity. morality, patience, joyful effort, concentration, and wisdom.
Perfect. Right on the money. So these are six perfections. And what do they mean? Okay? This is what we do. You're in this world, precious human life. You do activity, you have a job, you have a home, you have a family, bills to pay. We have all these activities going on. But in there, a person who has incorporated, integrated Dharma, it says, develop generosity. And that's the whole thing about what does generous mean? Many ways, right? It's not always money. It can be many ways, but generosity. Morality and ethics plays a big role. Patience. Okay? It's not only going like this and waiting for the bus patience. Many ways to practice patience. You develop joyful effort. When something is exciting, and this is soaking in, you want to learn. Now you are into it. It's like when you get a good book and you can't stop. It's similar to that. You really get this thing going and you can experience it. And once you experience it, you have joyful effort. You want to go to a class, you want to learn, you want to meet, you want to go on a pilgrimage, that kind of stuff. Okay? Then you develop concentration, and you see when we start a class, we do a little calm abiding. It kind of brings all the chatter down a little bit. And then we focus on a breath. It's a small little tidbit about developing concentration. If our mind wants to develop story and go with it, right? Every few seconds, you just hear it, all of a sudden it starts to fly again. So another thing is you develop concentration. So the practices that you do, you there's a lot of aspect of it that it brings you to have concentration. Okay? And last is wisdom. Wisdom is wisdom realizing emptiness. It's a whole topic of how you see reality. We right now see reality as she, me, you, I. I like it, I don't like it. That's tall, that's down, right? Good, bad, ugly, all those things. But when you have the understanding of how things really exist, you have a different view of world. You see the interrelationships. You see how things are dependent arising, how we help each other. You see that oneness in it. Okay? So again, that's a whole other topic. But these are the six things you also, when you learn Dharma, you can soak it into your system. Okay? So the whole idea is not to become insensitive. And the other piece is to develop a practice so that you can integrate some of these things into your own experience. That's the whole point of all of that stuff. Okay? So again, through hearing, you must also then contemplate on it. You think about all of these things that we just talked about for the last 5-10 minutes. When you have a minute, think about it, mind and the gap. And then insensitivity to Dharma. Then we talked about bodhicitta, and we talked about a little bit about the six perfections. What is all? We are just kind of just touching things right now. And the goal is eventually we're going to bring it all down to how you actually go through these things in a proper fashion. Okay? But right now just have a little open mind about it. And there's an analogy about insensitivity to Dharma. And I may have said this in the last same session, a year ago maybe, but it comes to my mind. In Tibet, they use butter and they use leather. And leather is akin to mind, and the butter is like Dharma. So kind of compare, put them together, so an analogy. And a lot of these Tibetans, they'll take this butter and they'll work it into the leather. And they'll work it and work it nicely and becomes real pliant, real pliable. Then they can make shoes, coats, pouches, bags, saddles, and they can then mold the leather because of how they work that butter into it. It's also interesting to know that the same pouch, if you leave the butter inside and don't work it in, it becomes hard like a rock. You can actually hit somebody with it. It doesn't go. There's a chemical reaction, and the butter doesn't go into the leather anymore. It just stays in there. And so this analogy is to tell you that when you learn some of these things, you want to slowly and steadily find a way to soak it in, make your mind pliable, and then understand it, question it, look it up, and then things will start to make sense. Okay? Because it's I know I personally, when you first start out, you're so excited, you want to read every book. You want to read this, you want to read that. It's all wonderful, nothing wrong, that's your experience too. But at some point, you need to establish something and do something about it on a daily basis. Okay? Any questions so far? Okay, so we talked about that. So this is where the rubber meets the road, right? You've learned a lot of things, been to many sessions. We now want to make it part of your experience. Now, what do I do so that I can grow, I can develop, I can take my path towards my own enlightenment is what you should be thinking. What do I need to do? Okay? So you have to develop with a strong practice. Okay? I think I'm covering this already. So let's talk about what we'll do. So this is an introductory class for today, means this particular session. As next class, we'll really deep dive into those sessions and everything, okay? We'll build it up. But I think you need to get an overview of where we're going with this. So what to expect in the coming weeks? Okay, we'll talk about how to set up. We'll get an overview of different things, but how to set up an effective meditation session. What are some of the components that we need to have in place and to experience some of this transformation? Okay? We're going to talk about something called the six preparatory practices. And not here, but I will at least cover basic setting up of an altar. Okay? Some of you may have an altar, some of you may not have a space for an altar, but if you wish to have an altar, what is the proper way to set it up? Okay? We'll talk about that. We'll also talk about seven limb prayer. You may have heard of it, but you don't know what they are and why. So we'll talk about that. Okay, we'll talk about mandala offering, some what mantras to say, when to say it, that kind of stuff. We're going to go through it. We're going to use this book called The Daily Meditation Practice by Lama Zopa Rinpoche. It's now, when I go to FPMT site, it's called Method to Transform a Suffering Life into Happiness. It's downloadable. It really is 8 o'clock. I can't believe the time is flying away. So there are some meditation requirements. I have a meditation today we might be able to do. I may do the meditation with refuge as part of your checkoff list. I'll incorporate the refuge next time, and then we'll build the entire meditation slowly and steadily. At one point, we'll do the entire practice, and you will see all of these things fall into place. Okay, you'll see that. So just for time purposes, I did not expect that video. So I'm just going to kind of move the refuge next class piece. But anyways, morning practices, let's just talk about it a little bit. Okay, so there's a part called in the morning. You heard the five forces in the video, right? The five forces. The very first thing you want to do is the force of resolution you talked about, or force of determination. Lama Zopa Rinpoche in his reading talks about how you must think first thing in the morning, what you should do in the morning. Very nice commentary in your readings. So download it if you haven't and read that. Okay? It will explain to you. He talks about how to set up, motivate your mind to think about bodhicitta. Okay? And it's amazing when you get up in the morning and you kind of expand your mind a little bit. It's an amazing feeling because you just came out of the sleep from another la-la land, and all of a sudden, when you come down and you're fresh in your mind, expand your mind, it talks really tremendously, very deeply about setting up, developing bodhicitta, okay? And then what happens is there are some preliminary practices. There are some mantras. You can bless your speech, your feet, a couple of things he talks about, and we will go through that, all of that, okay? Then when you ask people, what do you do for your practice, most people will talk about their cushion time. Well, I do a little meditation. And Lama Zopa Rinpoche will tell you to really soak Dharma in. This is not a 10-minute a day thing, or a 15-minute, or I did it for 2 hours. It's a way you think all the time. And these practices set you up for that. Whenever you do the set of practice that you do, you develop a whole mindset of how simple thing you can offer a small flower to a deity or a holy book or whatever. Or you can visualize that flower, multiply it millions and billions of times, and visualize an entire planet full of beautiful flowers and offer it. What's stopping your mind? So it explains to you how you can expand your mind. Really amazing feeling. You can offer so many things. Who are you offering to? Do you think Buddha needs your flowers, books, clothes, colognes? Nothing. He doesn't want that. You're developing your Buddha nature. You're developing that relationship in your mind for your own enlightenment. It's a practice, really amazing practice, how it helps your mind. Okay? Then we talk about prostration. This is another practice. He suggests confession to 35 Buddhas. There's a picture here of those Buddhas here. That's an amazing practice. Probably he emphasizes that many, many times throughout his reading about do one in the morning, do one in the evening. Okay? And there are ways to do it. Some people cannot prostrate, then you can do mentally. Some people don't remember or memorize the names. There are CDs available. Even in the YouTube, you can play it and do it. But try to learn it. But it says the merit is great when you actually say it and do it. But he emphasizes that it's a very powerful purification practice. And according to the story, each of the Buddhas promised that by taking their name, the very specific karmas will be purified. And there's a whole reading on the power of the prayer, Buddha's prayer. So we'll talk about that too a little bit. And then we'll talk about Guru Yoga, a little bit about Lamrim. So there comes Lamrim. And we'll talk about mantras to recite. Okay? In the end, you may have slightly different practices of your own, but there is some method. That's what we're going to establish. Okay? You may have a favorite deity, and remember, deity is not separate from Buddha. Okay? They're just emanation of Buddhas. But you have a connection. There are people connected with Tara, right? There are people connected with Vajrasattva, or some people like do both practices. Perfectly fine. But in your mind, don't see there. It is here and in you, and this is a practice to then bridge yourself with that. And then you just need to know that's all emanations of Buddha. And I'd like to say this one thing, your teachers. Okay? So we also have a tendency sometimes to not really understand a teacher or a guru, or however you want to call it. Typical mindset, another person. But you think about it in this way now. There's a different way of looking at it. If Buddha's teachings could have stopped, all these things we are learning, all the Lamrim, it came from Lama Atisha to Lama Tsongkhapa, right? All the way it's being taught here by Geshe-la. So the analogy would be to recognize the power of the sun. You don't have to go to the sun. You can stand in a nice sunlight and feel the rays. So the teachings of the Buddha through your teachers are no different than teachings directly from Buddha. You can think that way. So now your mindset is different. Of course you can challenge, you can question, you develop relationship. There is some ways to do it. But if somebody is teaching you Lamrim, you're coming to the Dharma Center month after month, week after week, and you've been getting teachings, at least you can be rejoiceful for the fact that we are so lucky, immensely lucky, in this time to even get these teachings. And something in your mind tells you to come here, making you even your life more precious. Right? So it's powerful, very powerful. All right, so then we talked about prostrations, how to incorporate them. So, very important, we can actually walk through them also. So, according to Lama Zopa Rinpoche, that when you do these prostrations, the whole day goes better. Everything has more success. Everything has more power, you know. And that's quite a statement to be made by Rinpoche. He very specifically says, and we are able to accomplish almost all our goals is that powerful, the practice. Okay? And it's not about just throwing ourselves on the ground and getting up. It's not about that. It's what you put in here with the practice, through the practice. Then there are other practices also. So right now, we are not organizing practices. We're just talking about there are several things available that you can choose to do. But as your time is available to you, some work, some have family, some are retired, some stay home, depending on time of your day and how much time you want to dedicate, these are some practices you can do. Another one is a Nungne practice of 35, a Nungne practice you can do. You can do a two-week Lam Rim course. There are so many practices that you can look at. Now, does it mean you have to do it every single day? There are certain things recommended daily. There are some things you kind of want to learn more about it. So now you go deeper into it. Go on a retreat. Go take an in-depth class. Learn more about it. Then come back and incorporate it. So there's ways to do things like that. Okay? Then we talk about practice of Vajrasattva. I put down the word myself. I purposely put down optional in the morning because you can do it any time of the day. You can do it all day. Nothing wrong. It's absolutely fantastic purification, one of the most powerful purification practice. And we're going to go through a meditation on that, actually, in this class on Vajrasattva. But I put it optional in the morning because it's recommended in some places that, you're in a rush, you do your preliminaries, do your regular practice in the morning. In the evening, you can reflect on the day of things that you may have done that were not so proper, right? And you can then use your four opponent powers of regret, reliance, remedy, resolve, and then do a Vajrasattva practice to purify that. And then tell yourself, I will not do that tomorrow. I will not do that for next 4 days. And you see, if you really do it properly, those thoughts go away. They actually subside. It's an amazing practice. So we'll talk about Vajrasattva practice. And then we'll talk about Guru Yoga. What is Guru Yoga? And some Lam Rim prayers. Very powerful. I, at some point, towards the end of the class, I found a summary of Lam Rim. Each section. I think it is absolutely fabulous that it's wonderful to reflect. When you start reading Lam Rim, and when you start reading this thick books, it's a lot of reading to do. But sometimes you reflect on the entire path. Where am I going? And so there's a really nice summary. Venerable Thupten Chodron had this on the site. And it tells you all the topics, subtopics, then the main topic, then the next level by scope. Okay? It's a great way. So sometimes you're talking about karma, where am I? So you can look at it, here it is. Okay? You're talking about emptiness, and you go look it up and say, this is what he's talking about. Another thing Lama Zopa Rinpoche says is, I forget the name, Foundations of All Good Qualities. We read that. It's in our prayer book. And I have marked our prayer book, and I'm going to get you familiar with a little bit of our prayer book. A lot of the practices are already in this prayer book, in the golden prayer book that is behind the chair. It's all in here. So I've labeled some areas. Foundations of All Good Qualities, preliminary mantras, King of Prayers. Some of these things are already in here. And you can follow this. Even the 35 Confession Buddhas are in there. Okay? And for Vajrasattva practice, this is a book from Lama Yeshe archives. There are probably two left outside. If you don't have it, and if you want to sincerely do some purification practices using Vajrasattva, a great little book to have. Otherwise, we can get some more. Okay? So just so be familiar with that. There are some other practices in the preliminary practices called Blessing of the Speech. We can do some... Have you been to Geshe-la when he taught about the Om Mani Padme Hum mantra? He's reading it right now. He says it's like a 1,000-page book, but he gave us a very short way to practice it. And we'll go through that very shortly. Wonderful way to just, it takes literally 5-6 minutes to think about it. And if the power of chanting mantra is so good, according to Lama Zopa Rinpoche, he's saying if you're saying the mantra and you go in the swimming pool and do malas, all the insects in there get blessed. The vibration is that strong of that mantra, and you do it properly. It's that powerful. So when you're saying it, so many things are being blessed. Even people who hear it, people who sense it, you will see the change. It's that good. So these are little practices you can do so many ways. Okay, so far, morning practice, you set your motivation, the five forces. We talked about prostrations, do a little bit of guru yoga, and you don't have to do the full guru yoga. There are short abbreviated versions. And again, in a lot of my readings, I find out that, you know, a lot of the frustration comes from, okay, well, I can't get up at 2 in the morning, right, to do all these things, to go to work at 7 o'clock. No, there's a certain time certainly needed, but it doesn't need to be that long. Now, if you're time off, you're on vacation, and you want to do some nice practices, certainly more you do, better it is for you. But you can abbreviate some of these practices in a way that you can actually accommodate during the day. We'll also talk about what to do in between cushion time. If people think that I did this for 5-10 minutes and I'm, or 15 minutes and I'm done, I got my practice in, then to soak it, there are so many things you can do when you're walking, when you're just driving, now, when you're opening the door, when you're sitting down, when you're taking a shower, where is your mind? You know? So slowly and steadily, I will suggest to you, don't constrain yourself. Don't put pressure on you. Oh my gosh, I got to do this. Not in that way. With some joyful effort, slowly. If it takes one thing and you want to contemplate that for a week or two or three or more, fine. But then slowly you will see you go to the next step. Then you incorporate some more things. Do a little reading about that subject. Let it soak in. You may still find questions. Talk to Geshe-la. Okay, talk to some senior students. They will guide you to the right person. And then you get the answers, you get the feeling, you think about it, it settles in. Then it's conviction. Right? Otherwise it's just, yeah, I heard that many times. There it goes again. Then 2 weeks later, what was that he said? Right? That's what happens to many of us. But when you become a practice, those certain things that you do on a very regular basis, it generates visualization very quickly because you've put in the effort to see it. And you will see how powerful that becomes. If you do, for example, a Vajrasattva practice and you force yourself, you read a book, you find a picture, whatever you do, you will develop a story in your mind. You will visualize it, you'll follow step by step, you will see the lotus, the moon disc, the Vajrasattva. And after you do it for a while, all you have to do is just think about Vajrasattva and there it is. Because you've been practicing it. Same way with Shakyamuni Buddha. It is in your mind. You develop that. Okay? That's it. There's one more practice, very important, and lately, Fabuddha is practicing Vajrasattva. Okay, one more practice is about Medicine Buddha. Okay, it is not only people think Medicine Buddha blue in color is for healing. Okay, it's more than healing. According to Lama Zopa Rinpoche, when the delusions are stronger, wrong views are much stronger, we blame others, don't take personal responsibility, that kind of mindset is going on. Minds of sentient beings are more and more difficult to be subdued in this degenerate world. Sickness is at increase, war is at increase, disease, famine, environmental imbalance. You see all these things that are going on? Medicine Buddha. It's a very beautiful mantra, short mantra. So in your practice, if you want to do one mala or 21 times, great. Doesn't say you have to do 3 hours. If you want to increase it, wonderful. Matter of fact, I was reading FPMT newsletter again, and Lama Zopa Rinpoche sent out a message, the fires in Australia are just hurting so many people. He's asked everybody to do a few Medicine Buddha mantras and dedicate them. See? So you can use medicine Buddha mantra in many ways. So you have a mantra of compassion, Chenrezig. You have a mantra of medicine Buddha. So you can start to see that, okay, I'm going to do my preliminaries in the morning. I'm going to set up my mind in a positive way using those fight seed, power of resolution. Be kind today. I'm going to be calm. Take refuge. Then the steps you do. And then you sit on the cushion. You go through a certain meditation. Then you can do certain malas or rosaries and do a couple of mantras of Chenrezig in a proper fashion. Do a couple of mantras of medicine Buddha and visualize them. See them. And then if you have time, you may want to pick up a chapter, a book you are reading, just read one page and think about it for a while. Okay, think about your teacher and then dedicate. Close your thing and you can go to your duties. And sometimes in the middle of the day is not going good or good. Also good things are great, right? We always think in terms of bad, but in the middle of the day, if things are going good, take refuge and dedicate. How long does it take to say, you know, do a refuge? 1 minute? Right? I take refuge in Buddha, Dharma and Sangha. Right? It's just do a nice little refuge and dedicate. Okay, we talked about Vajrasattva. In the evening, according to Lama Zopa Rinpoche, you can read more on Lamrim, do prostrations, practice Vajrasattva, and then dedicate. And therefore, even dedications are from extensive to very short dedications. Okay? Very short dedications, and we'll go through some of those things. And then, happy mind, good sleep. And guess what? When you've been practicing a lot, and when you do this sincerely, it will come in your dream too. It will come in your dream too. So we can even talk about intention and dedication. According to Tibetan Buddhist practice, to look at our motivation for doing something, you set a positive intention, deliberately saying our conscious goal to help keep us motivated, right? And focus on the way we truly wish to go. And dedication, at the end of the practice or action, we reconnect with that intention at the beginning and dedicate all that merit and positive energy to benefit all sentient beings. There are in-depth writings about dedication too. When you're not thinking of you and just doing it for others, that's another relief you get. It's a wonderful feeling because it's universal. It goes out very far. Right? I'm looking at time. So, here's the time to think about, why am I doing this? Why do I establish the daily practice? And how do we put it all together, structuring our life for Dharma? I told you in the beginning, ask this question again and again. Why? Why this? Why that? I gave you a little prologue on if you don't soak Dharma in, if you really have conviction and you want to follow and you want to see the result, then you must do something about it. There's no way you can first time go and say, okay, I'm going to exercise. You're going to run for half an hour and then you look in the mirror and says, I look the same. It doesn't work that way, right? It takes a very sustained amount of practice before you see the results. So for some, their mind is already happy and there. It may be quicker. And for others, it may take a little time. So not to get discouraged. This is not about, okay, I took a class, I'm going to go home and let me sit down. I felt good for 5 minutes, but now I got to go. I got to make dinner, and then I got to hit the bed because tomorrow 6 o'clock, I got to get up and go to work. Boom, boom, boom. The chatter starts. Pace yourself. Learn few things, but learn them well, and then soak them in. That's the whole idea about practice. So when you set up this practice, you'll see how it builds your mind and how wonderful that is throughout the day. And who is it helping? You. Not somebody else. Of course, somebody else because you're a kinder person. Right? That's why it's helping others. All right. So that's why we put it together. And then you will, at once, sometime, you will recognize, you will develop your own technique. There are a couple of very nice A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And then you will say, yeah, I am really attracted to Medicine Buddha Mantra. I need to learn more about Medicine Buddha. Who is Medicine Buddha? How did he come to be? How many are there? Is it always blue? You have questions come up in your mind. Chandra Zig, why 1,000 arms? I also see him in the forearms. What is the story behind it? And then you read up on it. And then you'll find out the power of Chandra Zig or Medicine Buddha. Same thing about Vajrasattva, the Confession Buddha. You learn so much just from the five Buddha types of Buddha, and they're all there, right there. If you know a little bit about Buddhism, they're called five Dhyani Buddhas. And you see the central Buddha, and then you see what they call Akshobhya and Vairochana. All these names are there. And they have a very specific meaning, and we'll cover that, what each Buddha represents. And then all those emanations of each have promised that by taking my name, a certain karma, obscuration will go away. They will purify you. So very powerful. In the bottom, you also see the medicine Buddha, and at the bottom is Tara. So they create this tanka very specifically, and you see the rays of the light energy coming from Buddha. In his heart is Chandra Zig, the compassionate Buddha, his emanation, and that's coming to every one of those Buddha from his heart. It's a very, once you understand it, you will see how powerful that impact is on your mind. Okay? So, any questions? So from next class, we'll really get into some, like the six preparatory practices. What are they? How to set up an altar? And we'll do some meditation. I know we have 10 minutes left, and I think the meditation that I have is quite long. So let's see. I'm going to try to see if I can. We'll do this the next class. I think it's no reason to rush through just after talking about how to do it, quality over quantity. It is very important that you have a correct visualization. But we'll do a nice dedication, and then we'll open up for questions. Okay? So give me 1 second. I want to make sure. I think this is... Linda, this is what happened last time too. The video came in and decided to refuse the next class. Same thing happened last time. So let's do this. Let's contemplate right now for a second. What did we just go through? You saw video. And what did we talk about? Okay, I went through what books to read and all that. And what kind of the logistics of it. Then what did we talk about? We talked about, this is module 8. We talked about all the classes that went ahead of these classes. Why? Because now it's time to integrate those into your mind, right? We typically have this gap in our mind between dharma and mind, and our goal is to bring it closer and closer to integrate it properly. Give some nice examples. We talked about parents. We talked about the leather and the butter analogy, right? And not to develop insensitivity to dharma. If you just listen, and not do anything about it, then you develop insensitivity. You're going to say, yeah, I've heard this before, right? It's the same stuff again and again and again. How many times have many of you come to Geshe-la's Sunday classes? He'll say the same thing sometimes 3-4 times. It's about the third or fourth time he says, oh, I get it. It takes sometimes a little time to soak it in. And you may not even know the context of what he's saying till when you see the entire story that says, that's what he was saying. That's how it is sometimes. So it's good to go through that, okay? Develop enthusiasm for it, okay? So we went through that. And I asked you to do two things, and one was ask questions. When you do this reading, underline. Something you don't understand, what does that mean? Underline them. Try to understand it. And I give you a couple of websites, or if not, just write it down, bring it, and we can discuss after class, or we'll find the answer for that. That's the best way to learn. When you're building this up, those words become common more and more and more. And I will, at one point, I will show you right now, I will actually go through some definitions with you. Okay, I've created some of these slides to just give you an idea of what these Buddhas are. Okay, what is karma, dharma, all these words you will see again and again and again many times. But when we reach a certain word, we're going to go through this, okay? So when it comes up, it'd be a good one to ask sometimes, you know, what does this mean? Five purposes, the two wings, you know, the 35 this and the six of that. What does that mean? It's good to question that. Okay? I just wanted you to be aware of it. So listen to the with the curious ears and create your advice. So we have, let's do a dedication now. Close, just sit back in nice. Oops. Did I lose this? Oh, sir. So now let's dedicate the merit of having made this effort to listen to the teachings to the swift enlightenment of each and every living being. And dedicate this merit that we ourselves might quickly attain the awakened state of a perfectly awakened Buddha and be able to benefit all living beings by leading them to that state. May we generate the bodhicitta which has not been generated, and may the bodhicitta which has been generated never decline but always increase, and may the gap between my mind and Dharma be reduced to nothing. May our minds become the perfect Dharma for the benefit of all. Thank you. Okay. This will be our focus of next class, setting up an effective meditation, meditation manual, six preparatory practices. I would suggest you read the required readings. Start with Lama Zopa Rinpoche's, the reading requirement. There are two parts I asked you in how to set up an altar. At least read that. And then in the wish-fulfilling golden sun, there's some very, really, really nice things that you can read about in a few pages. So at least do that, okay? Any questions so far? Okay. So thank you. We usually sit outside for a few minutes just to connect with each other, and if there are any questions, we can have a nice discussion. This is typically unusual. Usually it's 5 minutes after 8:30. But I didn't want to do the meditation haphazardly, and it would be disrespectful. So we'll do a full meditation next class with a nice refuge and seven limb prayer or something like that. We'll dedicate good half an hour for it. So be prepared for that, okay? And then we'll slowly build you into, okay, when to do this, what comes after that, what do I do after that. Some of these things are very short and quick, and I do will have some handouts so you can actually start practicing. Okay? Thank you so much for the time.